Well, good morning, everyone. If we haven't met before, my name is Zach, and I have the privilege of being on staff here and working with kids, but not for too much longer, and youth and our young adult ministries. And today, we are going to continue in our series we've been in for the last number of weeks called Bible Stories for Adults. And we are jumping into the story of David and Goliath. Thank you, Gilbert and Marley, for opening us in our scripture reading and the text for this morning that I'll be speaking to. And we haven't even gotten to the sling and stone yet, if you noticed. Okay, so these 19 verses is all that we're covering today, because I believe the real drama of the story isn't between David and Goliath. It's between David and an entire generation of adults who stopped expecting God to do impossible things. But before I jump into more of that and what I believe God has placed on my heart to share with you today, I want to first say, like Susan has already said, I love that today many of our youth can be engaged in our service. We have students reading scripture. We have students serving in the tech booth as greeters when you came in and as you go out from here. Students organizing our food and clothing donations from our June drive. We have students praying, and we have students helping shape what happens in this room. And I know for some adults, that can be really exciting. And for some adults, maybe a little uncomfortable. Because as adults, and I'm really guilty of this, we tend to think about church in terms of what we are teaching the next generation. We have our kids' church upstairs, which is from birth to grade five. We have environments like Wombaland and Upstreet, and our grade six to eight environment, which is called Transit. These environments are focused on teaching our children simple biblical truths at their level so that they can have a greater understanding of what the Bible says and God's love for them. And this is super important. But what if today God wants to teach us through the young people here at Westside, through David, through the next generation? So today we're looking, like has already been mentioned, at one of the most familiar stories in the Bible, David and Goliath. Many of us have learned this story as children, or maybe you haven't, but you've seen a cartoon or a movie, or you've maybe had coloring pages or activities that you've done along with this story. Maybe you've sung songs about this story. And the lesson usually goes something like this: be brave, face your giants. And that's not wrong, but I think there's something deeper happening in this story. Because David isn't surrounded by children, he's surrounded by adults, experienced adults, military adults, adults involved in politics and religion. And every adult in this story is afraid. The only person acting in faith is a teenager. So today, I want to ask us a difficult question. Have we become more like David or more like Saul? So to unpack this question, I want to look at, go over 3 points or 3 assumptions for us to consider today. And the first one is this: like Saul, adults have become experts at explaining why things can't be done. So in verse 11, it reads again, "When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." So we have for 40 days, Goliath comes out, morning and evening, morning, evening, morning, in evening. He gives the same speech, the same threat, and the same fear. And no one moves. So think about who is standing there. You have professional soldiers and veterans, commanders, and even King Saul is present. These are people with experience, people that have titles in history, people who should know what God has done. But experience here has not produced faith. It has produced caution, maybe a little bit of a risk assessment. Maybe some are making excuses and thinking of worst-case scenarios. And for them, eventually fear becomes normal. And then David shows up. Not because David volunteered, not because he was invited, he simply brought lunch, a gift to the battlefield. So verses 17 to 18 says this: "One day Jesse said to David," that's David's father, "take this basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers and give these 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along and bring back a report on how they were doing." And as David arrives, he is shocked by how everyone is reacting to Goliath. And he asks the same question twice, first to the soldiers and then to another group nearby, a question no adult had asked. And I absolutely love this about David. David reminds me of himself a little bit. I can relate to David here, asking questions. Since a young age into my adulthood, I still like to ask a lot of questions. And similar to David, people don't always appreciate that, or they don't always understand. So I encourage you, be curious, ask good questions, and always lean into what's happening around you, because that's what David does. Verse 26, he says, this is his question: "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway, that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" So David isn't impressed, because David sees something everyone else has forgotten. This battle isn't ultimately about size. It's about whose God is greater. So let's pause for a moment, and I want you to think about this. Where has caution, maybe excuses, risk assessment, or worst-case scenarios, where have those crept in for you? Where have you told yourself, this just can't be done? I'm going to give you a few common life scenarios to help paint a better picture of this. Maybe you are familiar to some of these or all of them. The first one here is starting a business. A young person might have the ambition to start a business, have an idea, and say, "Let's launch this summer. I'm ready." And an adult might fire back, "Well, how will you pay rent? What if it fails? And do you even have any customers?" Second example, what about moving to a new city or country? A young person might say, "I can just pick up and let's move to Tokyo, London, New York, and we'll figure everything out." An adult might reply, "Have you considered cost of living, a job, housing, where you'll live, any social support around you?" And the last example, pursuing a career as a professional athlete or musician or actor. A young person might say, "My dream is to fill in the blank." And an adult might typically respond with, "Only a tiny percentage of people make a living doing that." So the underlying difference here is that a younger mindset sees possibility, upside, and exploration, while an adult mindset sees the probability, maybe the downside, and a little bit of responsibility that needs to take place. And research tells us that many breakthroughs, scientific, entrepreneurial, or artistic, they depend on people retaining some degree of youthful expectancy. And yes, I want to preface this. Wisdom and counsel should be exercised in these scenarios to avoid any unnecessary disasters. I'm not intending to leave that part out. I'm trying to reveal a problem that I think we all face as we get older, that David himself experienced happening around him. Where does our childlike faith, confidence, and boldness go? Maybe adults don't lose bold faith all at once. Maybe we slowly replace it with expertise. Maybe we stop asking, "What might God do?" And we start asking, "What has worked before? Let's just do that again. I know I've done that. What if we fail? What if people don't come? What if people criticize us? And what if this just doesn't make any sense?" So here, faith becomes management. And management is safer, but safer isn't always more faithful. Moving on to assumption two. Fresh faith often sounds naive to older ears. So like Saul, adults can interpret fresh faith into naive faith, faith that might be a lacking experience or wisdom. So David volunteers, and immediately everyone tells him why he can't. In verse 33, again it says, "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." And David's older brother also criticizes him. And people dismiss him, that he's too young, too inexperienced, too small, too immature. And have you noticed, adults are very good at telling young people what they can't do. And sometimes it's because we genuinely care. But sometimes we do it because their faith exposes our fear. David doesn't deny his limitations. He simply remembers God's faithfulness. Acting in faith remembers what fear forgets. God has been faithful before, and God will be faithful again. David says, "I have fought lions. I have fought bears. God delivered me then, and God will deliver me now." David had a theology built from experience, not from experience of failure, but of experience of God's presence. So I want to share a little story with you. When I was younger, in my teen years, I started to take my faith really seriously. It was shortly after I was baptized, which was around junior high. And I would pray this one simple prayer every night. I would say, "God, show me how you want to use me." In other words, I wanted God to use me. I wanted to understand how God could use me for his kingdom purposes. So I started involving myself in many areas of the church because at the time, these were the opportunities around me. I was curious and eager to discover the gifts God had given me. So I attended a lot of different groups and Bible studies. I pursued mentorship and volunteered in areas like music, tech, and even kids ministry. And without much thought or discernment, I tried as much as I could. And then when I was about 16 or 17, when I was still in high school, there was an opportunity to be a part of a short-term mission trip. And this mission trip was a little unique. It was to do open-air evangelism, that's what they called it, in New York City at Times Square. And I was young enough at this time not to know all the reasons why I shouldn't do this. Instead, I acted in faith. Faith built on what I believed God was doing and building in my life, and trusting that God would be with me no matter what. And I happened to be the only youth that went on this trip with a small group of other adults. And this trip was extremely out of my comfort zone. First off, you'd be learning how to share the gospel in a unique way, not only to strangers, but secondly, in an environment that was brand new to me, in one of the busiest, most popular, and largest cities in the world. And I even have a few pictures to share with you from this trip that I managed to dig and find. So this is almost 20 years ago, if you can believe it. So you can see behind me, this is part of what we were doing for the evangelism. So this wasn't maybe what crept into your mind was megaphone, fire and brimstone. No, that's not what we were doing. We had these artwork boards that we would set up and we would start painting, and eventually it would lean into whoever was doing it sharing a simple gospel presentation. And it was really neat because, you know, you're in Times Square, you're setting up this art board, and people are curious. They're thinking, what is this local artist? What's he doing? What's he going to sketch? Maybe it's a city landscape. I did it a few times, and maybe two or three people stopped by And sometimes even 20 to 30 people were curious to see what was happening. And don't worry, here there's cops here. Basically, I was impeding too much of the sidewalk. So they just wanted me to back up a little bit so that, you know, New York City's very congested. They were totally fine that I was there and everything was cool. And I feel like I could go on and on. Oh, wait, I actually have a second picture. It's really a cool snapshot. Behind me is like Times Square. It's a little covered, but still neat photos and neat memories to hold on to. And yes, I feel like I could go on and on about this trip, but the main takeaway for today was how I felt when the preparation was over and it came time for me to go into the city and share the story of God's love to people. And there's no way to describe it other than God's presence, His Spirit, taking over in a way that made everything calm. It made everything okay. I felt safe, secure, and He allowed me to do the impossible. Or what the impossible felt like for me in that moment at that age. And if I was presented with a similar opportunity today, not necessarily maybe this same one, but something bold, an opportunity to step out in faith, I know fear, cynicism, and reasons not to do it would immediately take over. And don't get me wrong, there is some rationale to that. Evaluating circumstances and scenarios, using wisdom and discernment to make decisions. But what I can learn today from myself back then and this story of David is that our faith must be childlike. There was something deeper happening back then that I'm even afraid to admit today I have lost. And what I found out while preparing this message is that I don't think I'm preaching to you guys. I think I'm preaching to myself. So how can I and how can we tap in to this faith again? A childlike faith shaped by wisdom and not cynicism. The church desperately needs wisdom, but wisdom is different than cynicism. Wisdom says God has been faithful. Cynicism says nothing ever changes. Wisdom says let's discern together. Cynicism says let's avoid disappointment. Ultimately, wisdom trusts God and cynicism protects itself. My third point or assumption here is like Saul, adults often try to dress young faith in old armor. So in the following verses from the reading this morning that we didn't get to, but Saul offers David his armor. It sounds supportive, but it isn't. Saul wants David to fight like Saul. So verses 38 to 39 says this, "Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet and a coat of mail. David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. 'I can't go in these,' he protested to Saul. 'I'm not used to them.' So David took them off again." David is saying they don't fit, and he refuses borrowed armor. He fights with what God has already given him: 5 stones, a sling, and years of hidden preparation. And I wonder if adults do this all the time. We say to young people, "We believe in you," but what if this means we believe in you as long as you do it exactly the way we would? We might tell them to sing our songs, lead our way, think our thoughts, dream our dreams, take our methods, adopt our preferences, ultimately wear our armor. But maybe God wants to use this next generation differently, using the same gospel, the same good news about Jesus, even the same Bible, but with different tools in their own language, in new opportunities, using different gifts. So having the youth engaged in today's service is not primarily about students pretending to be adults. It's about adults being reminded that God has always delighted in using young people. If you think about it, this is all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament. You have Joseph, Samuel, David, like we're talking about today, Josiah. Josiah was a boy king at age 8. Mary, who is thought to be a teenager when she gave birth to Jesus. Timothy, Paul's protege, and all the disciples, they were mainly young people. So God is not waiting for people to turn 35, 50, or even 65 before he speaks through them. So I'm excited for this next generation, and I'm personally learning how to better empower them to lead and use their gifts, because I know we can't stand in the way, and I personally can't stand in their way. So a final thought to share is that everyone in this story talks about the giant Goliath, but I believe Goliath isn't the only giant. There is another giant standing on the battlefield, and that is the giant of fear. Or maybe it's complacency, comfort, or even cynicism. The giant that whispers, "Don't expect much. Protect yourself. Play it safe. Keep things manageable." Maybe you've heard those whispers in your head before. And spoiler alert, as we all know, David does kill and defeat Goliath. But before David ever fought Goliath, he had to resist becoming like everyone around him. Sometimes the greatest battle is refusing to inherit the fears of the previous generation or the adults around us. So today, I think there are two groups God wants to speak to. First, we have our students, our youth, our kids. Do not underestimate what God can do through your life. You do not need to wait. You don't have to become someone else. You don't have to be older. God delights in using people who trust him. And it's super important to trust God, but trust yourself. David trusted himself. He had confidence. And a great reminder of this was a few days ago, on Thursday, I had the privilege of going to the grade 12 commencement ceremony of Westdale Secondary School. And we have 4 boys from our youth program that graduated this year. And one of the adults giving an address was talking about the reality of Canada's ongoing uncertainty of our future. And to rise to the challenge of this uncertainty and to see it as opportunity and to trust that you are ready. I thought that was super powerful. That your time in high school, this is what he said, has prepared you for the life you are to lead. So trust that you are ready. And I believe this is as much true for time spent in education as it is for time spent in church, right? Have confidence that of what you are building and what you are learning. Have confidence like David, first and foremost, to trust God, but also to trust yourself. So youth, young people, keep listening, keep serving, keep praying boldly, keep believing, and keep bringing your lunch to the battlefield. And seize the opportunities that God has put in front of you. Because sometimes God uses ordinary childlike faith to wake up an entire community. And to the adults here this morning in the room and online, whoever's listening, maybe God wants to restore expectancy. Maybe you've had tough battles and fought battles. You've been disappointed. Maybe you've seen conflicts within your family or in the church. Maybe you've prayed unanswered prayers, taken risks, and even been hurt. And over time, you've become cautious. And I know that's true for me. Today, God might be inviting you back into childlike faith. Not childish faith, childlike faith. Faith that still believes in dreams and says that the battle belongs to the Lord. And maybe the greatest gift the next generation gives us isn't energy. Maybe it's memory. They remind us what it felt like when we first believed God could do anything. So my kids are only 3 and 1 years old. They are not teenagers yet, but they do this each and every day. They are constantly showing me a determination and faith to do anything and to try anything. They are fearless risk takers in their own little way, and they are full of so much expectancy. And sometimes I'm often tempted to hold them back, but I'm choosing to lean in with so much joy to see and watch them attempt the impossible. So in closing, David was not simply brave, David was awake. He still expected God to show up. And perhaps today, as students lead us, in a moment as a student prays for us, and as students serve among us, maybe God is asking adults a question. When did you stop expecting me, God, to do impossible things? And maybe the invitation today is simple, not just to applaud the faith of the next generation, but to recover it. And I can't say this any better way than what Jesus says in Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5. Jesus says something here surprising and even shocking. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called the little children to come to him and place the child among them. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, you will never taste it. You will never see it. He continues, "Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So David had not yet learned all the reasons he shouldn't trust God, but Saul had. David had not yet learned and become fluent with caution, but Saul had. David had not yet confused experience with faithfulness. So Jesus says the path forward isn't to become childish. It's recovering a childlike dependence on our Father. So again, perhaps today, God is extending an invitation to adults here and to me, not to act younger, but to trust deeper, to remember what it felt like to believe that God could still do impossible things. And maybe, just maybe, God is using the next generation, our kids, our grandkids, to remind us what dependent faith looks like. So, as the band comes out and they lead us in another song, I wanted to invite Isha to come up and pray for us and close our time, one of our youth. So would you pray with us?
Dear God, thank you for the adults in our church who have loved us, taught us, prayed for us, and shown us what it means to follow Jesus. Today we pray that you would encourage them. For those who are tired, give them strength. For those who are discouraged, give them hope. For those who have stopped expecting you to do great things, renew their faith. Help all of us, young and old, to trust you like David did. Keep us from living in fear, and remind us that the battle belongs to you. Make us a church where every generation learns from one another, serves together, and follows Jesus boldly. In Jesus' name, amen.